This is Leg Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Thanks for joining us. Wisconsin ranks 50th in state government support for the arts, which is one of many factors contributing to the fiscal challenges performing arts groups of all sizes face. Milwaukee's performing arts community has had a heavy reliance on philanthropic dollars for decades. But to what extent can philanthropy sustain groups that are still recovering from COVID-19 pandemic losses? A new report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum called Curtain Time assesses and responds to Milwaukee's performing arts challenges. It also highlights some long-standing problems in the community and offers some potential solutions to make the sector more sustainable. To learn more, I'm joined by Wisconsin Policy Forum President Rob Henkin. Rob, welcome back to Lake Effect.
Thanks so much for having me.
So we're tackling a big theme here, and it's the performing arts in Milwaukee and how they're sustained, funded, et cetera. And one big theme from your recent Wisconsin Policy Forum report is the pressure of philanthropy and contributed income. So can you share a bit more about this and how much Milwaukee's performing arts sector relies on it?
Sure. So we are blessed in Milwaukee with having a very generous philanthropic community that has really stepped up to the plate over the years in terms of its support, not only for the performing arts, but for arts and culture in general. So that's good. What is less good is that this reliance on philanthropy has grown over time, in particular post-pandemic. While we were actually, I think, pleasantly surprised at the extent to which audiences are starting to rebound from the pandemic, it sort of differs for every organization. So the earned revenue that these performing arts groups can make from their performances and from things they sell at those performances, some of them, like the ballet, also very dependent on fees for educational programming. Those have rebounded somewhat, but clearly still not to the point that they were pre-pandemic. And there was sort of a gradual, we've seen this nationally, a decline in performing arts audiences for a variety of reasons. So as that has happened, reliance on philanthropy has grown because there are inflationary pressures on all of these groups. And then the other huge factor here is that in the state of Wisconsin, we have very little public sector support for the arts. So whereas in other cities, these gaps that exist between what needs to be spent and what can be generated from performances and philanthropy, oftentimes a chunk of that is filled by public sector contributions. Here, that's not the case.
So with that in mind, I want to talk about the main organization that does support the arts here in Milwaukee, and that's United Performing Arts Fund, or UPAF. So where do they factor into this report and this overall conversation?
They factor very prominently, Audrey. They've been around since 1967. It's a very nice model. First of all, it was formed really to support four big performing arts groups who all staged their performances at the Marcus Performing Arts Center. So the ballet, the Florentine opera, we have the symphony, and we have the repertory theater. The notion here is that let's have a collective effort to raise money for the performing arts. Let's not rely just on each of the organizations having to spend dollars to fundraise, which they all do anyway. But let's have some collective effort where citizens, whether they're performing arts regular patrons or not, maybe they appreciate having a strong performing arts sector here. So this notion of workplace giving, it also can make it easier on the corporate side, where major corporate donors can give to UPAF instead of trying to decide which of the various organizations that they should be giving to. The way that this has, however, developed over time has caused some tension. The bulk of the UPAF dollars tend to go to the bigger performing arts organizations. Two in particular, the Symphony and the Rep, receive a sizable share of those UPAF donations. Now, they have the biggest budget, so in many respects, that can be justified. In many respects, there's a line of thinking here that these real prominent large organizations, they need to thrive here. They're so important to our community. Smaller and medium-sized performing arts groups are important, but not as important as these anchors. Let's make sure UPAF is appropriately supporting them. On the other hand, we have those who say, no, it's the range of different performing arts groups in this community that is so important. And so maybe the pendulum should swing the other way. This has been a source of tension for many, many years. It is now sort of reaching a fever pitch, in part because UPAF is now looking for a new executive director, and the leadership of UPAF, as well as many of its prominent corporate donors, are wanting to look at the distribution formula and whether it should be changed.
Right. And this deep kind of philosophical divide, as you just said, it's not a new thing. It's been in existence for decades here. And while it's not as simple as like big organizations versus small ones, we can't deny with how fundraising goes and operates, it's more often that the bigger groups get more funds because they have more outreach capability, right? So that kind of adds to this tension and sense of competition in the arts versus any outreach or collaboration.
It does. So again, where we had some focus in this report was looking at the notion, in addition to obviously having to look at the revenue side, where could we look at the expenditure side? And are there opportunities for collaboration among individual performing arts groups that might result in greater efficiencies and perhaps some dollar savings? Could they collaborate sharing venue space, sharing ticket sale platform, other ways that they could potentially collaborate to save on some staffing costs, for example. And while there are some notable examples of collaboration among groups that we note and highlight in the report, there's also a feeling among the stakeholders that we interviewed that we're not seeing as much collaboration as perhaps we could, and that one factor there is this intense, fierce competition for these finite philanthropic resources and the UPAF dollars.
On that note, you also explored potential ways forward, shall we say. You looked at examples from three Midwestern cities that have been creative in how they support their arts communities and kind of their whole ecosystem. So there's Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and Kansas City. So what stands out to you about their models?
So let's start with Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh stands out in two ways. Number one, they have a thriving downtown cultural district. They saw the performing arts as a key component of their urban renewal strategy back in the 1980s. And so in terms of physical space, they have a cultural district that both serves as a form of collaboration in terms of sharing venues, but also is part of a larger economic development strategy. But I think even more important than that for Milwaukee, because we have a theater district that we have formed here that's a more loose-knit
collaboration. Yeah, how many block radius of everything's concentrated right by us.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. But they also have something, a nonprofit called the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust. And what, among other things, what that cultural trust does is that it is a shared services provider. So healthcare for several performing arts groups is provided by the cultural trust. They all obviously chip in, but there's one entity that's purchasing that insurance and is able to do so at a lower rate and achieve some efficiencies there. There are other ways that the cultural trust supports the broad range of performing arts organizations, and that is seen as being a more efficient approach than having each organization fend for itself. And many of these are very small nonprofit organizations. Turning to Cincinnati, there's an entity called ArtsWave. It has a workplace giving approach that is not dissimilar from our UPAF, but I think what really makes it stand out is that giving is really tied to a broader strategic vision that has been developed by ArtsWave with input from stakeholders, from the organizations themselves, from elected leaders, et cetera. And giving is tied towards certain strategic objectives. So that's number one. Number two, they are addressing head on the issue of, well, we have large organizations like a symphony and a ballet. We have smaller ones. And so there's sort of a methodology there that is agreed to. There's multi-year grants for the larger organizations, and then there's more competitive grants for the smaller ones, but still there's a pool of money that's there for them. And so that's sort of an interesting model, all, again, based on a 10-year strategic plan. Then we have Kansas City, which we examined and really drew out a discussion about the fact that they have an arts incubator in their downtown. There's a new vibrant campus. It's a multidisciplinary, multifaceted facility, and it's for all types of artists to be in the same physical space. It encourages collaboration. And also in Kansas City, another notable distinction there is that several foundations are focused solely on grants for smaller arts organizations.
So what stands out to me in all these models is a key word called strategy, right? These are efforts that have been a long time in the making, do adapt with stakeholders, arts performing organizations, input. And with Milwaukee, your study reveals that the main challenges here were a problem before the pandemic and weren't addressed and are still here and are still not being addressed. So does this potentially show that we're ultimately, you know, punching above our weight, so to speak?
It's a tough question. You know, the punching above our weight question. So we also took a look at the number of major performing arts organizations in Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Kansas City, and Milwaukee, and found that just in terms of number of organizations and number of employees within those organizations, we are very much on par with those other cities that are comparable to us in other ways, and actually slightly below them in terms of numbers of organizations and employees. But I think clearly, you hit on it, strategy. And I think one of the key problems here is, so, you know, who would be empowered and charged with getting all of these very proud organizations that have been around for quite some time to collectively decide on a strategic vision for the overall sector, and to get all of their big donors and board members and stakeholders to all be on the same page around a collective vision. As you said, this issue has been around for a while. The forum, we put out a report in 2015 that really spoke to this big conflict between those who believe that we should be focusing on really having excellent, robust, major performing arts organizations, a small handful, versus those who really wanted to see greater breadth and greater numbers of organizations. So this question has been around for a while. What we are suggesting is that because of this increasing reliance on philanthropy that likely cannot continue, the time has come to try to get everybody in a room, so to speak. It's going to have to be a big room, and it's going to have to be a long process. So then the question is, how does that happen? Would it be some of the top philanthropic donors to the performing arts getting the various stakeholders together and saying, this is something that we want to see happen? Would it be one of our civic entities like the Greater Milwaukee Committee? Would it be both? How would that work, I think, is still to be determined. But could it also be this need to revisit UPAF anyway that seems to have emerged over the past several months? Could that be the impetus to tying UPAF to a broader strategic vision for the future and having the UPAF stakeholders really play a role in that?
Yeah. So no matter where we start, big or small, main message is it's time to act, right?
That is the main message. This has been festering. The pandemic clearly threw a huge monkey wrench into the longer term plans. That said, we have brand new gleaming facilities for the symphony, one that is breaking ground for the rep. The ballet has a new facility. So on the one hand, we have seen some real progress and some real hope for the future for some of these organizations. The question is to having a thriving overall sector of small and diverse performing arts groups, medium-sized and large. How do we get that done? And we think that is tied to strategy.
Well, certainly a lot to dig into this report. And if people are interested, there's a link to that online. Rob, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Rob Hankin is the president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum. You can find a link to their full report called Curtain Time, Assessing and Responding to Milwaukee's Performing Arts Challenges at wuwm.com.